Lord leads me on through Him I must stand. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. Service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll come more close to Him, He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. There's all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. In valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight. With a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, keep, and He leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love Him so. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Let's sing that chorus one more time as Brother Michael comes up for prayer requests.
Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory,
amen. God bless you.
Good afternoon. Good to be here. Brother Colley's having some tests Wednesday, so let's pray for that. Everything comes back.
Oh, sorry.
Everything comes back good, and you know we don't have to worry about anything. And a request from Angie Brown. There's a tropical storm prayer request for the Lord to protect them and their property. So there's a storm going through Louisiana, so just pray for the people.
All right.
Pray for the everyone. Stand. I'm sorry. And just pray for the people in Louisiana and that storm passing through, and that, you know, God will protect His people. And we believe He will. So let's all bow our heads. Dear Father, we thank You for this day, Lord. Thank You for allowing us to gather here, Lord, and be in Your presence, Lord. And pray for the service, Lord, and believe that You'll use a man to speak to us, Lord. You'll commune with us, Lord, and answer all these requests, Lord, that everything will come back fine. And protect those people, Lord. Protect Your people. Thank You for all things, Lord, and just pray for the service and pray for those in need, Lord, and the unspoken prayer requests, Lord. We thank You for this day, Lord. Take full advantage, Lord, and have the right attitude and listen to what's being said. Thank You for all things. Thank You for allowing us to gather and everyone here. Have Your way with the service, Lord, and have Your way with us in our lives. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's go and turn to When the Redeemed Gather, number 7 in the keys. When the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing. When the redeemed are gathering in, I am thinking of a rapture in our blessed home on high. When the redeemed are gathering in, I will raise a heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing. When the redeemed are gathering in, there will be a great procession over on the streets of gold. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, what music, oh, what singing over city will be rolled. When the redeemed are gathering in, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing. When the redeemed are gathering in, saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in, listen, for they cannot join that song. When the redeemed are gathering in, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board. When the redeemed are gathering in, and we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord. When the redeemed are gathering in, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing. When the redeemed are gathering in. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn to number 10 in this power book and sing Teach Me, Lord, to Wait. While we sing that, let's go ahead and take up the offering. Can I ask Brother Jonas to come up and take the offering?
I think of this day and bless the people that are poor. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Let's sing that one more time as little Zoe comes up. She has a special. Wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. have Sister Rachel and Sister Anna's class come up for their special.
So this goes slow and then it goes fast. So we're going to give this a try. Ready? Ready? Let's go ahead and have the older youth group come up for their special.
Let's go ahead and change the order of the service. Sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. That's where the wait comes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. See you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of the glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted. Shining in the light of your glory. You love him today. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You love him today. Oh, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy. Amen. That means I want to understand you, Lord. I want to understand who you are. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's give these young people a round of applause. And the ones that help them do their job, a round of applause. Amen. Amen. Yes, thank you, Lord. We remember when a lot of them were just little, were in the first group. Some groups have moved on and started having their own group. So I remember when Amy's not here. Amy and Jeffrey, they got married. But before they got married, they were in a little group. Then they got in a youth group. And then they got married and started their own group. So I guess that's the way it should be, Brother Tom. I don't know. Yeah. Start your own group. But good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. There's a few things we're going to cover right here real quick. Those of you that want to go back to having service as it was and get rid of this blue tape up here, we need to, as a church, vote on it. Brother Dale's okayed it. I just said let's open it up, and my younger brother with all the wisdom said, no, let's vote on it. So that's, to me, that's better. So of all of you that want to have it as regular service, would you raise up your hand? And they're looking downstairs. I think it's about 100%. But I still want us to be careful. They're looking downstairs, Brother Anderson. I hope he didn't forget. I asked him to run down there. He didn't. It's good. Okay. But if you have a concern, if you are sick, please don't come. Right. Sniffles, sneezes, and other things. But we know, listen, we didn't understand this thing back in March and April, and we didn't know what we were looking at. But I think we do know what we're looking at now. We're looking at a virus that is deadly to a degree. And it hits the older people more than it does the younger people and people with pre-existing conditions. So it would be, I figured so. It would be, it was 100% downstairs too. It would be foolish to just say it was nothing. We know better than that. But we need to make sure that we continue to wash your hands. And if you have a cough, don't cough on somebody. Okay? But I think everybody's kind of wanting to get back, but we still need to be cautious about it. Right. Really cautious. We're still going to wipe the doorknobs off. We're still going to wipe the doors in the back and
you'll still see the hand sanitizer everywhere, which is a good idea anyway. Maybe it'll cut down on any of the other things that we might get. And but I think that next Sunday we'll begin back with the regular Sunday school classes. Brother Boyd, I've already talked to him. He will, I will, and everybody will be back together in their Sunday school classes. But if you have a reservation about it, please let us know. And it will not bother us one bit if you want to sit downstairs away from it, right? It won't bother us a bit at all. It's your personal preference. But like Brother Dale said, then you'll go to Walmart Monday and spend half a day. So just watch what you're doing. We are not social distancing much now anyway. You saw all of them singing up here, you know, so. But that's the younger kids. But just, hey, listen, pray. Let's just don't forget this thing. Let's just keep them in prayer. Brother Dale still got the prayer cloths over all the doors, and we know how that works. We've seen it work hundreds of times, you know, praying over things and laying that prayer cloth on somebody and seeing cancer being taken care of and a lot of different things. So, and it's good to see Brother Hal back with us. Amen. Looking good back there. Good to have you back with us, buddy. He's kind of one of those like Brother Kylie. He's, if there's a void there, there's nobody else can fill it. So, but remember that too. We will start that. Brother Aaron is preaching Wednesday night. All right. And today is Mom's birthday party. Her birthday was Friday. She was a little bit over 45. And, we'll have a little party for her today downstairs after the second service. Also, the youth will stay. And we will have questions and answers up here. You adults are welcome to stay, but we're not buying pizza for everybody. But if you have a child that is participating in the youth service, you can stay and have a piece of pizza, but not for everybody. It's not for everybody. It's for the youth. Okay. All right. Also next Sunday. And for those of you that still got your calendar, make sure that you hang them to your calendar. Even with calendars, we still forget. Esther, you can lead them to water, but you can't get them to drink it. Donnie said, I said, where were you at last night? He don't mind me saying, he's right up here in the front. He said, where were you at last night? Bible study. You know, you see that look and you know, oh, you forgot. That's why I give you these. But since you see them on the back of the seats and in the trash can, I guess it doesn't do a whole lot of good. But anyway, it makes me feel good that I can go. It's on the refrigerator. Yeah, it's on the refrigerator, along with all the other stuff that's on the refrigerator. But I think the ladies are ready to go. I'm going to get this real quick. The ladies are ready to go in a couple of weeks on that, well, our Father's Day, but they're thinking they need to take a trip. So anyway. But our Father's Day fishing trip is a go. I talked to the girl yesterday and we're good to go with our lodge that we've rented up in, Robertstown. Next Sunday after the second service, we will be meeting as men to discuss just the logistics of getting all the food up there and who's going and who's not going. The thing sleeps 25 people and I think we've got 21 confirmed going. So we still have a little bit of space. We will have a cookout on Friday night. Some of you brothers, Brother Collie, if you and Brother Darty want to come up, y'all, like you did, you know, whatever you want to do. Okay. But we're having a cookout on Friday night, which will be right there at the lodge. And it is a real nice place. It's air conditioned, got a big porch, and it's got places to play and all that for the kids. Plus, Brother Richard, Roberts is getting a, map together for the fishing. It's kind of going to be a little different than we used to do up in Upper Chattahoochee. We all knew where to fish because the river was right there. But this kind of, we're in a central location there in Robertstown, and there's several places you can fish. There's also zip line. There's also canoeing, rafting, whatever you want to do. Maybe not rafting, but the different things you can do. Tubing, that's what I was trying to say. So there'll be a lot of things that we can do. And that will be on Thursday the 18th, on Thursday evening. We'll get there at 4 o'clock. We'll be there until Saturday morning at 11. I have to check out at 11 o'clock on Saturday. And I think the sisters are going to be coming back on Saturday afternoon too. So, keep that in your prayers and on your heart also. Now remember, July the 4th, we will have a meeting here at 11 o'clock. It will be a service with Brother Andrew Glover. It will be catered to the youth, but anyone can attend. Also, there'll be fellowship afterwards with hamburgers and hot dogs, and then Brother Andrew Glover will be here for that Sunday service. So just keep that in your prayers. That's July the 4th. All right? Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. All right. So now I think that's it. But we're going to meet next Sunday. Some of the men will meet together and figure out if you're really going to go or not and what time you're going to go. So God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you for everything. Thank you for everybody for participating in what we're doing here, keeping people safe, trying to make sure that everything's done right. We kind of all scattered around all over the place trying to accommodate people and the older ones, trying to get them up here so they can sit down, you know, in a good, comfortable seat. But thank you for some of your young ones and some of your families that sat downstairs and that are down there now. You just pray that the Lord will bless us and we'll get back to where we can fit us all back up here in the sanctuary. I'm like Brother Joe Canada said this morning, it's going to be a choir when we get everybody here and get everybody back in the sanctuary again. I think of the voice, the walls may fall apart, but that's all right. We'll build some new ones. So God bless you. If you would turn your Bibles to the book of Corinthians, and we'll read that one scripture we've been reading. We're still on Journey of a Believer. This would be part 14. We're going to try to finish Esther today. Because to me, Esther is a beautiful, beautiful picture, beautiful book in the Bible. Does not mention God one time, but God's just all in it. Amen. And it's given to us, as the Bible says, for our example. And we'll read that in just a second. But I want us to make sure, and some of the questions that's asked by our youth today in the youth Bible study, I think there's, I love the way that they word the questions. I know Bob kind of worded some of them a little bit different, but I like the way the kids ask questions because it comes straight from their mind and from their heart about this. You know, in if you walk through the world and the question was even asked, I think even Deanna may have asked us one time, said, well, why is it this extra? Why can't we just be Christians and just walk through the world and do what we can and do the best we can and, you know, and not be different? Well, you can't do that. That's like Brother Dale said this morning. When God calls you, God called you. You responded, but God called you because he knew you would walk in the Word of God and you'll walk a different way. Amen. And so we see this journey of a believer that we're trying to get is not just to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but to go on with God, to get more of God, to be able as we were talking about last night in the adoption, there was a question about that. There's a question today about the headstone and the different things. The terminologies we use were not used in Luther's day, Wesley's day. The word was still there. They didn't add another Bible when Brother Branham got here. But it took a prophet, or as we're going to see today, it took a man named Mordecai to lead Esther through this maze of what we call Christianity and to kick out what we know is not right, to live by the Bible and to live right and do the right things, as Brother Dale was saying this morning, and then go to the part where Jesus went on the mountain and God said, hear ye him. Right. Same way with Mordecai, same way with Brother Branham. We believe that the prophet of God was sent on a mountain. He was given a message, not just to tell us how to dress. Not just to tell us how to act. The Bible already told us that.
Right.
But his message was to break open the top of that pyramid. His message was to show us things that had already been written in the Bible, but to shine so much light on it till it illuminates and that revelation of that word is going to come back and live inside of us. Right. Amen. So that was Brother Branham's job. It wasn't his job to make us Christian. Hello? It was not. We should have lived Christian life anyway,
right,
without a prophet being here.
Right.
But Brother Branham restored back to that and then brought his message, which was the opening of the seals, which was that fourth or adoption or the placing or the capstone or the headstone or the opening of the seven seals is the way we see it, that Brother Branham was taken up on the mountain and he was adopted. And I believe he told us just exactly like Jesus. He said, if you're going to get anything, this little man is the only way you're going to get it. Amen. So Brother Branham was the Mordecai that was helping Esther. So we see now that, and we're going to read this a little bit today, and we'll see that unfold in the life of a man that lived 2,500 years ago. But we were able to and privileged to see that life live out through a man just 60-something years ago, 70-something years ago. So God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the bride of Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you for sending us a prophet to sure enough, Lord, you've been wanting to communicate with man since you and Adam were in the garden and the sin, the fall happened and you had to withdraw yourself a little while and then you came down here in human flesh and truly then nobody really understood who you were. But you came back, Lord, on the day of Pentecost into a group of people and they began to start understanding what this man Jesus Christ is all about. Then in the end time, you sent us a prophet, Lord, and he went back into your mind, Father, and he brought that mind out and revealed it to the people and gave it to us, Lord, so that we can sweep this thing on to the coming of the Lord. Because there's many things that we still have to do in our journey and our walk, Lord, but I believe we're walking in the right direction. I believe we're trying our best, all of us, to do the right thing and to climb up that mountain and not just be lazy Christians, but Lord, be active participants, Lord, in this journey as we see Abraham was and all Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, all these different ones had a journey that they were on, Lord, and you brought them to a place and now we can see that place, Lord, lived out in our own lives. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins. Bless, Lord, the missionaries on the foreign fields. Give them fruit for their labor, Father. We ask your blessings in this service. You take over, Lord, and you be the active one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, let's just read verse 11, save time. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. So who are they written for? They're written for us. Amen. Me. I put my name in there. They're written for Wade Dale. I don't know about you. Right. But they're written for me, for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing. To the reading of the word. And this journey that we're in, okay, all right, let me read this here. God used your kindness to all the precious family at Spoken Word Tabernacle Church. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your kindness, love offerings, works of comfort, and most importantly, all of your prayers. This is from Sister Collins. You know, Brother Collins passed away several weeks ago, and this is from her. We pray God will richly bless y'all. I like her. She's Southern, y'all. And we hope to worship with y'all very soon. We sure would love it, too. Brother Luis Urego family, Terrence Dale family, Richard Roberts family, Ryan Bonnet family, Charlotte Richard Marlowe, and all the other families that gave. You will never know. When I received y'all's blessings, just how much that meant to me. To remind me of his faithfulness. God bless all of you in Jesus' name, Sister Collins and family. Now is Esther here? Okay. It's Brother Timbo's wife, father passed away, and we were down there to be with him. So to the other bride of Spoken Word Church, Brother and Sister Wade Dales, Brother and Sister Kennard, Brother and Sister Helm, Sister Rebecca Atkins, Sister Regina Arline, Brother and Sister Marunga, and all who gave. Thank you all for your love offering. I pray for God to richly bless you all, Sister Barbara Collins and family. Just pray for her. She didn't lose just a husband. She lost a friend. She lost a friend. They were just friends from when they were younger, and we've known Brother Collins since we were kids. And Brother and Sister Collins has always been they've always been there. And now Brother Collins has went on. We don't question that. The Lord knows what he's doing. We don't. So he took him on home. Actually, didn't take him home. He took him over in another dimension to be there. We're not going home till with a future home. Amen? So he's over in a place of waiting. Waiting on what? Us to get ready. And then he's going to step right back in here, and he's going to be, instead of being a big man, we saw a picture of him when he first got married, and he looked kind of like that. And he's about 6'3 or 4, tall gentleman, but he was like a stick. But that's the way we'll see him, because he was 18 years old, 19 at that time. So We just really thank God that he sent us a prophet that could go into that other dimension, that could take, that could tell us, not a story, I don't mean a story, but he could make it so vivid. You know why? Because he went there. He went there. He went across that curtain of time. He experienced what we never experienced. Man tells us, down through the ages, man has told us, you know, mama, granny, they all said, oh, granny's walking on the streets of gold, hand in hand with Jesus. No, she's not. Right? She's not. Oh, they're sitting at the feet of... No, they're not. They're not even in heaven. What we know as heaven. But it took a prophet to go across the curtain of time, because nobody's ever went over there and come back and told the truth, maybe. You know, some of these people see lights and they see green men and they see all this stuff. But we had a man go across the curtain of time, come back, that we believe. Amen. And we know he saw what he saw, because you know what? It connects with the Bible. It connects with all the scripture. It connects with Abraham and Sarah being turned back to a young man and woman. Right. All right. And same way with, I told you, Brother Tom have not heard me say this, but when my wife went to the Baptist church one time they had a series called Experiencing God. Well, she brings home this book, and this book has got this, it looked like Rip Van Winkle on the front of the book. Bald-headed, long hair, gray, and a stick. And he's looking like this, and that's what they think God looks like. Because the Bible called him the Ancient of Days, and then he's got to be old because he was like way back yonder. That's what kids think. My God's never been an old man. My God's been 18 years old or 20 years old, and when he was creating the world and the stars, I believe he was happy. Brother Brown said it was like a kid playing before the Father's door. What? Playing with toys. Let there be, and here happens this, and let there be, here happens this. And he's like, oh, I'm going to paint that, and I'm going to put this over here, and I'll make a Milky Way. Right. I don't believe God's not just somebody that stands there and has no personality. Right. God's a person. Glory. He's the only human there ever was to me at this point in time. And we were made in his image. Right. And we're heading back to something, but we got to get done with this first. So let's turn to the book of Esther. But we go through we went through the journey of Abraham. Let me go through this real quick. Journey of Ruth, journey of Abraham, and there's four parts of the journey. There's four parts to your journey. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and going on to adoption, or going on to Ruth having the child, and Abraham producing. See, and Brother Dale's going to get into this, talking about adoption, but see, once God calls you, and you are a child of God or a Christian, you're going to produce what you are. Right. I told somebody the other day, we were downstairs talking, and it was talking about how all these secret things are being revealed. You know, I mean, you politicians, they're pulling stuff out of their life from way back when, and they're doing this and they're doing that. Why? It's time of revelation. You can't hide nothing.
Right.
You're going to produce, if you are wheat seed, you are going to produce wheat. If you are tare seed or cucklebur, you're going to produce cucklebur.
Right.
I didn't plant 40-something squash plants to get corn. I wanted squash in abundance.
Amen.
June's throwing things downstairs, I'm sure. There's a story behind that. But I didn't. You look at, and Bob kind of covered it. When you look and you see, you're going to produce who you are. You can't help it.
Right.
Same way with this virus and all these other things. Hey, we're going to produce who we are.
Right, man.
We're going to prove who we are. And you know what? God is pleased as he took Jesus on that mountain and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him. He took Brother Branham up on that mountain out there in Arizona, and he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Took him up in a constellation of angels and gave him commission to go back to Jeffersonville to have the seals open. To me, I know that was a hear ye him. Because you're not going to get the revelation of that from anybody else. Clarence Larkin can have his views, and all these different people, so-and-so, can have their views, but that's okay. God sent one prophet. And we're to listen to that one prophet.
Amen.
But what he done, though, he didn't take it all with him. He gave it to what? Us. To produce what he has preached. He spent 1,100 and something sermons to just leave and just nothing happen. No, we're here to produce what that Bible said. And through that prophet, we're going to see here, Esther would have not been, we'll get to it in a second, Esther would have not been anything if she hadn't had guidance from the different players in the story. The Memucans and the different ones and the different people, Haggai and all the different ones. And then here pops Mordecai up, which she has complete confidence in Mordecai. That's why I'm saying today that we see that Brother Branham's, the confidence that people have in Brother Branham are waning. They're just giving up. They're saying, well, he's not true and he did this and he did that. And I really don't care. He took me to Jesus Christ. Amen. He took me to Jesus Christ. I'm not worried about if he missed a date, and I don't think he did, but they just don't understand. They just don't understand. Because I'm going to tell you something. Brother Ray, if Brother Branham wasn't the messenger, we got to find another one. So we might as well just scrap what we got and go back to the Baptist. Telling you, if you're looking for something else, something gooder, there ain't nothing no gooder than this. This message shows me Jesus Christ. This message has opened my eyes and give me a revelation that my walk and my journey is through justification and sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and not just sit back and enjoy. No. We have a commission to go forward. We have a commission to finish this thing. We do have this commission. So now as we looked in at the four combat beasts, we know that's a lion, ox, man, and eagle. We know that's your Holy Ghost. So there's four combat beasts to help you through life. Now we went to Ruth. We had characters in Ruth that were, Naomi was the old Jewish church, Orpha was the denominational church, Ruth was the Gentile bride, and Boaz is a type of Christ. And we see what happened in her journey. All you gotta do is read it. All you gotta do is read it and see. Then we know that we can go all the way to Esther, and Esther, there was a king. There was Esther, which turned into the bride. Vashti was the church. Mordecai was the little prophet man, or the little guy that hung around and kind of guided Esther into what to do. And we'll get into that in just a second. And then Haman was the devil. And last Sunday, that's what we came up to, is Haman. And I appreciate people, like Brother Ryan and different ones. I love your comments. I love somebody say you have preached a good sermon. Amen. Who said that? Amen. That's what I thought. No. But Brother Ryan sends me a note sometimes in the middle of the week, and he said, hey, do you know what? He said, you know that Haman came in Esther chapter 3 verse 1 and said that in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, the serpent was talked about. And see, you see that, and you see, well, at least somebody's, you know, digging and looking, because in Genesis 3:1, the Bible says the serpent was more supple than any beast in the field. And now we read Esther 3:1, and here's Haman, which is the type of the devil. All right, so we see that. Let's start right there. We know one thing's for sure. We know that Esther is now the queen, that she has been accepted. She's the queen, but there's a problem going on here, because her people are getting ready to be annihilated. And she's going to have to do something that had never been done before. And somebody live. Because you can't go in to see the king without being invited. I don't even care if you're the bride. I don't care if you're the queen. The queen doesn't just automatically go into the throne room. Nope, she does not. Because she will die. So here we are at chapter 3, verse 1. And then we see that Haman... And we saw and showed that his lineage was all the way back to Esau or Amalek. So we see how his lineage is coming up. But now remember, Mordecai didn't bow to him either. As you keep going up down through there, you look at verse 2, then verse 5. But that made the devil, listen, the devil hates anybody that has truth. He hates anybody that has truth. And he hasn't lost that character. Because why did he go to Adam and Eve? Why did he go to Eve first? He was going to mar her character. He was going to get her to do something that God told him not to do. So here is Haman. Haman is trying to get the king to do something now we know one thing for sure, that God Almighty knew everything that was going to happen because he predestinated it by his foreknowledge. So he foreknew, that means that come first, and Brother Dale will cover that a little bit later. But by foreknowledge, God knew everything. But now this king didn't, but he put Haman in power. In verse 10, he gave him power, which is a permitted power, because he gave the devil there in Ezekiel. He said, I made you perfect. You're the king. You're the son of the morning. You're the anointed cherub. I'm going to let you be my right hand man. He said, evil was found in your heart, or iniquity was found in your heart. And that's the same thing with Haman. Haman acted like he was doing a good deed to the king, but his underlying meaning was he wanted to destroy the Jews because he knows Mordecai's a Jew and Mordecai's not going to bow to him. No, Mordecai what? He didn't bow. And then what happened was then we took and see that the letters, there was letters sent out then to destroy the Jews in one day. Now look at chapter 4, and we know what happened. We look at Nicaea Rome, and we talk about it a lot, but you know what happened at that time during Nicaea Rome? Satan was trying to destroy Christianity. It looked like to the world that that God was setting up Christianity. Because everybody talks about the Nicene Council and the 325 AD and the 606, and boy, they brought that doctrine out of Father, Son, Holy Ghost and the Trinitarian doctrine, and they got everything together, and man, they made everything fit. That was the devil's work.
Right.
God wasn't nowhere in that. That's the same way with Haman. Haman's coming up and he's trying his best to kill a group of people, but he's doing it diplomatically because he said, oh, there's a group of people that don't like us and there's a group of people that don't do what we say to do. That's the same way they were doing it in Nicaea. Because Constantine and all them were what? They were killing Christians because they wouldn't be Catholics. So the devil doesn't change his tactic very much. So we see now in chapter 4, Mordecai perceived all that was done. Mordecai rent his clothes. Now, see, Mordecai finds this out first. Yeah. Esther didn't find it out first. Yeah. Right. Mordecai found it out first. The little man, he perceived. Right. I discern right. That there's something going on. Because listen, like I said before, and don't get me wrong, the prophet of God had to restore all the things back to the faith of the fathers. There's no doubt. But that wasn't his message. His message wasn't even the healing campaign. Now, I'll bring you 100 quotes where he said that. He said, not in the healing campaign. Not when it first started. But what? When the opening of the seals, when he comes down to a place to where he has authority to speak where no man has ever spoke before. Amen. So Mordecai is going to have to do the same thing. Mordecai is going to have to come to a place because remember, Mordecai is really nothing. He just stands at the king's gate. In other words, he's at the right place at the right time. And he hears these things. Why did God send a prophet? Because man said, God spoke to me. Then this other man said, God spoke to me. Then this other man said, God spoke to me. And they all three have different views. God is not confused. So God sent us a prophet and said, hear him. That's the one you're going to have to get it from. So there wasn't a Mordecai and two or three other guys. Mordecai's in this story. Mordecai is very important. Very important. Because Esther's actually not in the palace when the king makes this decree. And he doesn't really understand that he made a decree to kill Esther's people. Right? That's how the devil is. See, he's real slick. But you know what? If God knows everything, God is going to use all that to destroy the devil. Because
right.
You're going to see, as we were talking about last Sunday, Haman is going to come to a place to where he's going to hate Mordecai so bad, he's going to build a gallows, and he thinks he's going to hang Mordecai on it. But guess what happens? Yeah. He's got it coming. Listen. He's got it coming. Let him do what he can do. He can't touch us until God's finished with us. But when God's finished with us, and we step out of here, there's going to be some hanging, all
right.
Mordecai perceived all that was done. Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes. Think about a prophet of God. I was thinking about this a while back. You look at Mordecai, and remember, Mordecai's a Jew. But Mordecai he's all the time interceding for Esther and his people. He's always around the king's gate. He's always, like I said, in the right place at the right time. And I was thinking about Brother Branham and all the things he had to go through. I mean, the man died before, I'm 60 years old, and he was 56 when he died, somewhere in there. And he looked really old. Why? Because he toiled his whole life to get a message to me and you.
Right.
He spent his whole life, gave up a lot of things. Same way with this Mordecai. Mordecai wasn't off doing something else. No, he was in the important place at the right time, got the correct message, interpretation, and he always sent it to Esther. Always sent it to Esther, because you'll look right here, look. And he came before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. So we're going down a little bit further. Look at verse 4. So Esther's maid and her chamberlains came and told it to her. What? That Haman was out here toiling, had his clothes off, and he had ashes all over him. All right? So that's the way they mourned and grieved. And she went with raiment and clothed Mordecai. Anyway, then called Esther for Hatach, one of the king's chamberlains. So anyway, the story goes is finally he tells her what's fixing to happen. He gives her a revelation that she's going to die if something's not happening. Everybody okay with that? You got Mordecai. That Mordecai is going to tell Esther what's fixing to happen. So if he does that, now there's one thing for sure. What this chapter 4 and 5 is very beautiful if you'll look at it. I know it may bore some of you, but I enjoy reading it. I've preached this 20 times and I really enjoy it again. But what you do is you look at Mordecai. Now watch. Mordecai's in desperation because one thing's for sure. Now here, get me right on this. Mordecai becomes unimportant when he tells Esther what's going on. Now listen to what I'm saying. The reason he does is because he can't go into the see the king.
That's right.
But Esther can.
That's right.
Yeah. That's me and you folks.
That's right.
And it's that by design. It's not that by we're belittling anyone. But we see this story, and it's a perfect story of what Brother Branham did. He couldn't go in there with, you know, a lot of people. Oh, never mind. He wasn't God. We know that. But even in the story of Eleazar, when Rebekah and Isaac got together, they wasn't three in that tent. They was only two. So in other words, the same way. Mordecai didn't go in with Esther and walk into that court. No. He had to give Esther the message. And then Esther went to the king. Amen. So that's the way you and I, that's the way it's got to work. That's the way it's worked in the Bible. And that's the way it works with us.
Right.
Amen. Because we're taking everything that the prophet of God gave us, and what we're doing is we're producing a bride for Christ. Because
right.
Brother Ram can't save nobody.
Right.
Brother Dale can't save nobody. I can't save anybody. Right?
That's right.
As important as Jesus Christ was, he never saved one person while he was on the earth.
Right.
Amen. But now he came back on the day of Pentecost and saved 120 in one little whack.
Right.
And then a 3,000 on down a little bit further. That's how the way God wants to work.
Right.
He has messengers along the way to give you That's why fivefold ministry, he gives us a fivefold ministry. Like I said before, many of you young people don't know what a roadmap is, but I know Brother Tom and his sister Rebecca know what a roadmap. Remember them old maps that you couldn't ever get back together? He still got them? Okie dokie then. So anyway, but what is a roadmap? A roadmap is folded. And if you can't unfold the whole roadmap, what if you miss about three states and you can't get it all unfolded? You don't know where to go. But a five-fold ministry, when God unfolds that five-fold map, you know exactly where you're going. What Brother Bram say? It was, no, where you come from, what you're doing here, and where you're going. Now that's, to me, the plainest this message was given, to tell me where I came from, the mind of God, like Brother Dale's talking about. How many preachers you ever heard say you come from the mind of God? Before Brother Branham? Nobody? But he tells us, he said, little bride, you come from here. This is what you're doing here, and this is where you're going. Esther, you got some work to do, because you know what? I can't go in to see the king, but you can. So watch what happens. Now watch. Let's go down to... let's go to verse 13, if you don't mind. When Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace. In other words, if we would have just took Brother Branham's message and thought he was just another preacher in another line like Larkin and all, and not saying anything bad about any of them, but they didn't have a message. This man had a vindicated message. Mordecai had a vindicated message, but he said, in other words, without reading this all, he's saying, Esther, if you don't take this serious and go into that king, you're going to die. That's what would have happened if we would have just read. You know, there's a lot of people. And I know Sister Cleta was in Brother Ram's meetings, and maybe some of Brother Howell Thomas was, and maybe some of the other ones were in the meeting. Brother Tony was in the meeting. So you saw the prophet of God. Oh, and Sister Marjorie. She said her name's Tootsie not anymore. What's her name? Not Tootsie anymore. I've known her Tootsie for 60-something years. Okay, Sister Marjorie. They were there. They watched the prophet work. But my point is, many people saw that and never went anywhere further. He was just a good preacher. He had a healing ministry and left. Right? But look at you. We got people scattered in here, and Brother Moat saw him, and Brother Joe Canada's, and Sister Esther's, dad saw him and mother. Saw Brother Branham. And then they went on because they caught the message. They caught what Mordecai was saying. Right. That if it don't produce a bride, right. If it don't produce a bride, you're dead. Amen. If this thing don't produce a bride that can go into the king, I thought the Bible told us we could go boldly to the throne of grace. Right. Not have to worry about having to sneak in the back door to get in to see the king. Right. No, sir. Right. But now I'm telling you though, Mordecai told her, right here, says, look, you got to make a choice. Right. Verse 14, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai is looking her in the eye and going, this is your moment. This is your time. You were born for this. Your whole journey has come right down to this right here. Put your name in that. Your whole journey. Brother Howell, you've been in the message here. Sister Cleta, this is your time. Esther, this is important. Listen to what I'm saying. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. said, go gather all the Jews that are present in the palace and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days. Night or day, and I also and my maiden will fast likewise. Because remember, if you're not called by the king and you walk into his chamber, you're dead. I don't care if you're queen beautiful. Everybody got that? So listen, there's an order to go to the king. And watch what she did. I also and my maiden will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Now watch. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. So now Esther's in control. But now Mordecai's transferred that power to her. It's all right, it's you. You were born for this day. And she says, I'm going in. If I die, I die. Amen. Can we be that sold out?
Yeah.
To die out to ourselves. Now let's go to Esther chapter 5. Now it came to pass on, here we go, on the third day, that Esther put on her royal apparel. She dressed right. She knew. Listen. She didn't go in there and grab her t-shirt that she'd been working in the garden with. And her blue jean skirt that had holes in it. She knew what the king liked. Because she knew the king. No other woman in that whole palace would know exactly how to dress. Except the queen. And she put on her apparel that she knew. Now you'll see in the story in just a minute because listen folks. Oh, it thrills my heart. Jesus hadn't seen his bride in 2,000 years. He's never put physical eyes on his bride, human eyes to human eyes. He's had to wait 2,000 years for us to learn how to dress right, for us to learn how to act right, and for us to be able to approach the king. Because when Esther shows herself to the king, he's not mad. He's not saying, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you don't do that? Why? No. He longed to see her. Because watch. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. Over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court. Oh, man. How could he refuse her? She was dressed right. She was humble. She was acting right. That she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther because remember, if that golden scepter didn't go out and if she didn't touch that golden scepter, the people standing around the king took her and immediately killed her.
Right.
But he held out. What did he hold out? He held out. Listen to this. That golden scepter, if you'll go back and look at during that time, that golden scepter, they didn't know what it meant. But there was a cross on top of that golden scepter. And when he held that scepter out, you know what he said? He said, I died for you. I died for you. I'm not going to kill you. I died for you. I'm so glad to see you. I can't kill you. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, look, what are you doing here? What's your problem? No. He said, what do you want? And what is thy request? And it shall be even. Now, he didn't know what she was doing in there. But he's ready to give her half the kingdom. Up to have. And you know, all I had to do was say, okay, you get half the kingdom.
Right.
What a mighty God we serve.
Glory.
Because now watch this story. We may not get, we won't get to it today because I'm going to cut it off, but we'll get to it next week. He asked her this three times. But what happens on the fourth time? Keep reading your Bible. About chapter 8 or 9 over in there, he says, Esther, what do you want? You can have the whole kingdom. He's offering her half. She's in her journey. But when he gets to the very end, he's so in love with her, he's like, whatever you want. You get all this. Revelation chapter 5. You are kings and priests. You reign over this place. It's yours. But we have to go through a journey. Then the king said unto her, what will thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? And it shall even given thee to the half of the kingdom. Now what's Esther doing? Esther's not going to say, bride, is not going to say, this Haman guy, he's pretty bad. If you see the underlying meaning, Esther has a plan. Because how is the devil going to be destroyed?
Oh, yeah.
Through the king? No, he's already destroyed death.
Right.
How's he going? How's Haman going to come to his end?
Right.
There had to be an Esther.
That's right, yeah.
To make sure that he comes to an end.
Right.
You see what you and I, that's our purpose for being here, is to destroy the effects of the devil. When death is destroyed in this body, you have destroyed the devil.
Right.
So Esther's going, I want to have a feast with you and Haman. Because I got a little story I need to tell you. So Esther answered and said, if it seemed good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day into the banquet that I have prepared for him.
Right.
Hmm. You think it might be a nice feast? We'll see here in just a second. The king sent unto Esther at the banquet of wine. Now watch, here we go. Here's number two. Roll it up to number six. But this is number two where he offers her half the kingdom again. And the king sent unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is this. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. Now watch what happened. Then went Haman, because I want you to look at this and see there's something going on. We see this because we're going to see in chapter 6. Because look, Haman went forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. Oh, he's going to get to the bride. He's going to get to Esther. He's going to come to her feast and she's going to glorify him and she's going to make him so nice of a meal. Then went Haman forth that day joyful with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai, Lord, here we go, in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him. Listen, Brother Branham didn't compromise on nothing.
Right.
He knew who the devil was, knew what his tactic was, and he never bowed down to him nor moved for him. He was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. Then he came home and he went to see his widow wifey and he started crying. Well, what does he do? What's his wife? His churches. He went to his churches. Satan went home to his churches and he starts giving them this spill. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him. Because see, he thinks he's really going to get promoted here. And how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. And God did. God put Satan in a place. You understand that? Satan had a position beyond, Brother Bram said, all but creation Satan could do. So that's pretty powerful. But you see what he done. He allowed Satan to do that so that you and I could come forth, but he had to make him a redeemer. To make him what? This king is fixing to redeem a group of people that are fixing to be killed because of Haman. And Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king into the banquet that she has prepared but myself. And tomorrow I'm going to be the head dog. And tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing so long as I see that Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Yeah. Listen, folks, don't you think Satan was fat and happy during the ages when all the denominations came up and they started baptizing wrong and they started to have all these faults? Satan was just like, I mean, he's like, head dog around here. I got them all whipped. And then God sends a little prophet, and in about the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, he starts having healing campaigns and knocking the devil in the head. And then in the 60s, when the seals open, that's a whole something Satan ain't got a thing to deal with, to do with. Don't you think it made him mad? Sure it made him mad. But he went back to his denominational wife, and he's telling them, says, look, we're going to do something here, and we're going to kill this guy. Let a gallows be made of 50 cubits tomorrow, speaking to the king, that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou merrily with the king into the banquet, and the thing pleased Haman. Now, who said that? His wife.
Yeah.
His church.
Yeah.
His church says, hey, you go out there and tell that William Branham guy, he's not invited in our churches no more. Okay? And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. So watch Esther chapter 6. Watch what happens. So what happens is in the story, and we'll stop right here because I don't want to be too long. We got a long day today because I want to wait till we get to chapter 7. Ryan wants to look at chapter 7. Chapter 7, we see something happen in chapter 8, the 7s and the 8s. All right, so chapter 6. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of Chronicles, and they were read before the king. Now remember back in the story, Mordecai had listened to these two people that were going to kill the king. They had conspired to kill the king. And Mordecai brought it to the attention of the king through the chamberlains, through the preachers, that there was something going to happen and they were going to kill this king. So verse 3 says, and the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? In other words, has anybody done anything for this guy? He saved my life. He saved my whole church. He saved my bride. He saved a lot of things. And then everybody around him said, well, there had nothing been done for him. And the king said, who is in the court? Now watch. The devil's always around somewhere. He's always right there in the court. Remember, he's the accuser of the brethren, remember? So he can get an audience with God when sometimes we think we can't. But remember, you're a child of God. There's a difference. You're a child of God. And the king said, who's in the court? Now, Haman was coming to the outward court of the king. Now, why is he coming for? He's going to convince the king to hang Mordecai.
Yep.
On the gallows that he had already made. All the little traps that the devil has for all of us. Remember, Brother Branham said, money, women, and popularity. You're going to get trapped by one of them. But he never was. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman come in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought, he's fixing to do something for me. He's fixing to give me a crown. I'm his right-hand guy. There is no other. Can't be. It can't be that scourge out there, Mordecai. Can't be that guy. And Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than me? Now, if you don't believe Haman's going to hang himself, you don't believe the devil's going to hang himself, watch this story. And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear. And in other words, the finest horse in Arabia that the king rides on, and the crown royal which was set upon, he's fixing to give him the king's apparel.
Yeah.
Not just some Lord or some king stuff. And let this apparel, not just put it on him. No, I want people to see me, Haman, riding on this horse with the crown. And I want people to glorify me. You see where Satan fell from. And let this apparel and the horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array this man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the streets of the city, and let him go around the world 7 times. And proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Then the king said, good idea. Make haste. Don't wait till tomorrow. Make haste and take that apparel and that horse, as thou hast said. And do even so to... Can you hear the balloon go... Because remember, listen, in this whole story, y'all don't forget, Satan thinks he's got the upper hand. Even now, he thinks he can destroy all the way down to almost to the future home. He still thinks he can win this thing. Right. If he can accuse enough other people. Right. But God's going to use him to display his bride. Right. Then took Haman, that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. I bet you if he could eat his words. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse. Don't you think he hated putting that on Mordecai? Don't you think he hated putting him up on that horse? And guess what? He's the guy that led him through the city. And brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth the honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house. Bless his heart. Wowsy, wowsy, woo. Brother Jewel says. And having his head covered. That's the way I want the devil to be. I want him to tuck tail and run. I don't want him nowhere around me. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him, crying big tears. Then said his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. And while they were yet talking to him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman into the banquet that Esther had prepared. Now remember, he's got to go to a banquet now with Esther and the king. It just gets worse and worse and better for us, but worse for them. But let's just read this just for a minute and we'll close right here. So the king and Haman came to a banquet with Esther the queen. Because remember, in the seventh church age, Satan is destroyed. Right? Through the message of the hour, through the bride of Jesus Christ, Satan is destroyed. Has no effect on us, supposed to not be, when we come to this position of adoption and on to the change of the body. So watch this, Esther chapter 7. We'll read this and then we'll be finished. We'll pick the rest up next week. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day of the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted unto them. What is thy request? It shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. That was the third time he said that. Right. Everybody got that? That was the third time that he made mention. The third time. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people. Ah, revelation. He's fixing to tell the king. She's fixing to tell the king she's a Jew. But he loved her so much he didn't care. Remember, we flipped that to the other side. We're Gentiles. We're dogs. We didn't have any inheritance. But when God married us, that's when we got an inheritance. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. So then what he said, well, wait a minute. What have I done? In other words, then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he? And where is he that durst presume in his heart to do this? Because where is all this mischievous coming from? It's coming from Satan's heart.
Yeah, right.
It's coming from the devil. Now remember, King Ahasuerus, God can't change his word. The law of the Medes and Persians, you cannot, once the law's been written, you can't change it. And if you take this by just a letter, it will kill you. This Bible will either send you to heaven or it'll send you to hell, one of the two.
Amen.
All right? Because God can't change it because of your little situation or mine. But watch what he says right here, real quick. And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman. Now listen, the king never questioned her one time. He believed what she said. Then Haman was afraid for the king and before the king and the queen. So that's what we do. We expose the devil. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to the king. Oh, what does your Bible say, Sister Trudy? Oh! He didn't even go. Listen, if it had been me, I'd have went to the king. Because that dude's the one with the power.
Yeah.
Right? He knew, though, if he could change Esther's mind, she could change the king's mind. So he's coming to the bride to try to make us change our mind about his word. And Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Esther, the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine. And what did Haman do? He fell down in the bed trying to get in bed with Esther.
Yeah.
And that just made God worse mad.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't good English, was it? Oh, point, yeah, I got the point across, didn't it? Haman was falling. He's begging Esther. He knows his end is near. Like the devil now, he knows his end is near. Then said the king, will he force the queen before me in my own house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now, when you cover somebody's face, it's execution. Always. Always. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows. Hey, we got a gallows out here. Where'd that come from? The devil built it. The devil built all this. Which Haman made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. The devil's got it coming to him, folks. And it's not coming from the king. It's coming from the queen. Because the queen right now, to me, on this earth, is the most powerful force there is the bride of Jesus Christ on this earth today. Musicians, come. And then we'll continue the story because, look, Louise chapter 8. What does 8 mean? Eternity. We're going to go into something here in just a minute. Because remember the ring that he gave to Haman? He's fixing to give it to somebody else. Because he's got some more confidence in this man named Mordecai. And then we're going to see, it's kind of real. It's not funny. But we're not finished with Haman, exactly. Because he had 10 sons. 10. There was 10 preachers. 12 preachers went across the promised land, right? Remember my sermon I preached a long time ago on 10 lying preachers? They get hung too. So God's going to, listen, God's going to purge this thing. Why? How is he going to do it? By the bride of Jesus Christ. No one else. And we know, you say, well, you're making God not important. He's standing back. He said, Esther, you prepare a feast. Esther says, I'm going to bring this person in here. And he says, hey, you get half the kingdom, whatever you want. And then we're going to see just about two more chapters from now, king's going to turn around and say, what do you want? The whole kingdom is yours. Listen, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up, but you know what it is? It's not somewhere beyond the blue. We had a prophet remind us that we're coming back to here. Sister Marjorie, this is our home. Amen. Haman is a squatter.
Right.
It's not his.
Right.
Haman thought he was so powerful. He only had permitted power. Right. Satan only has permitted power
right.
to do what he needs to do, but it all goes for the glory of Almighty God.
Amen.
Through the bride of Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. God bless you. I just love the book of Esther. It's just a got all kind of good nuggets in it. No, go ahead. Let's sing a song.
I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning of his precious blood atoning.
You know, he did all that, though, so he could transfer all that power over to his little queen, his little bride in the end time. He was looking. He was looking at me and you to finish this thing up. He's looking for an Esther to not be afraid to walk into the palace and to boldly come before the throne of God and to ask your petition, not half of what you need, but all that you need. Anything you need today, you just ask God. You ask your king. Esther, just ask, and you shall receive.
Of his cleansing
how he made a lane to walk again. You love the Lord?
And he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus,
Lord help me.
Heal my broken spirit.
You know that song says somehow, but we know how. We know how he did it.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory.
Didn't Brother Branham tell us what is God's victory? It's the bride. It's us. We are his victory. It's an old story about a man dying on a cross, but unless he's made real to me and you, it's just, they hung many people that day. The next day and the day after, there was people hung every day or put on a tree at Calvary. But that guy, he was special. He could come back and get inside of somebody. The rest of them died and went on away. And history didn't even talk about them. They just threw their body over into a pit and covered them up. But this man walked out on the third day. He walked out of that tomb. And he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And I'm fixing to transfer it to a group of people. Just several days later on the day of Pentecost. You know, if the devil would have been smart, he could have just let Jesus live. Brother Tom, he could have just let Jesus live, and he would have just lived his life on out, and he somewhere he'd had to die because his body wasn't eternal. But Haman couldn't stand it. He had to think he was in control. He had to think, if I can get that man and get him up there and kill him, I got him whipped. He just didn't realize that was part of the plan. That king did get on a cross and die for me and you. And then a few days later, several weeks later, 50 days in the day of Pentecost, guess what? He had to deal with 120 little Jesuses. And then they went out and preached a sermon, and 3,000 little Jesuses were born. Everything Satan touches, he just can't get it right. But that's the same way with that. Look how that calamity of Haman, how he went through and thought all this whole time he was going to be put right here. And God the whole time knew he would trap his own self and get hung on the same trap that he had made. Satan's a bluff. He has no power except what we give it to him. And you need to quit taking that rattlesnake, as Brother Forney always said. Stop taking it. Refuse it. Refuse this sickness. Refuse all this stuff that's going around. But you pray, because next Sunday we're going to start having regular service. We'll get rid of that blue tape. Thank the Lord. But you pray. And God will bless you. He'll give you, the Bible says, the desire of your heart. And God's the only one that knows your heart. So if you have a good desire, a desire to come to church, a desire to worship God, not just doing it because you have to, then this virus has no hold on us when we do that. Because he said he'd give you the desire of your heart. There stands that king with that scepter out. He says, whatever you need. I've already paid for it. I got a big army behind me, but you're my queen, and I want you to come and sit beside me. Because remember, we're told that we'll be able to sit in the throne with him in the millennium and all the way through into eternity. That's our position. So God bless you. We'll get ready to go downstairs back first. Pray for next Sunday that everything will be done right and decently and in order. And we're going to have some cake and stuff and some gifts for Mom for her birthday. And then immediately after that, you can go ahead and go home. The youth's going to be here. We'll be sitting up here having questions and answers. We already got several questions, and we're going to try to answer them for the youth. And they're going to have pizza to eat. So God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that you'd keep us safe, Lord, in this journey that we're in. Lord, we've come this far to turn back. We've come into the throne room. Lord, you've took us and accepted us, Lord, as your bride, as your little queen. And Lord, now you've instilled the power of the whole kingdom of God into your bride to destroy this Haman that thinks he's got us all beat. Father, we win. The battle is already over. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll be with us on the highways as we go home. Keep us all safe. Be with us as we go downstairs and enjoy a little time of fellowship. Be with our youth, Lord. Satan would love to destroy that generation that's coming up. Lord, I pray that you'd protect that generation. Protect that group of young men and young women, Lord, that if we continue on any further, they will be the deacons and the elders and the preachers, the song leaders in this church. Father, we pray that you'd protect them. Put a hedge around them, Father, that you'll keep them safe, Lord, for your honor and glory. Pray that you'd be with us now in the furtherment of this day. Bless us and take care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Back to the front, please.